Your skin is clammy. There's grit behind your eyeballs. A solitary owl hoots. The world lays creepily silent.
Children of the night.
Then a shadowy figure emerges from the darkness.
The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is.
Who is that guy?
A rebel. A guardian of everything that's fair in this dog-eat-dog world. One man with an opinion, a studio hotline, and 5 hours to kill.
Let's do this thing.
Out of the ball. Around Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to The Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Yeah, hi, how are you going? We've made it to Friday. It is November 24, and this is the little radio experiment we started nearly a year ago called The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. And my name is Luke. That is Miss Jess out there. And between us, we are The Night Shift. We would love to talk to you. It gets very, very busy. So if there's something you've been dying to talk about all week and you haven't been able to get through, or you've tried but couldn't wait, please have a crack right now. The telephone number is 133353. We have certainly covered some ground this week, haven't we? Some important topics, some fun stuff. We would love it if you could make us smile and make us laugh. If you've got a funny story for us to end the week on, please jump in and do that. We have a lot of lonely people out there getting through the wee small hours of the morning, and we do it all together, don't we? So why don't you share? Why don't you join in the conversation? Why don't you create some conversation? What's going on? 133353, you can get involved with the program on social media, Facebook, The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMM Night Shift, and the email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. But some more burning issues of the day. We'll get through them today. I want to talk to all the truckies that are feeling lonely. We touched on this the other morning, but we got really bogged down with other stuff. A caller to the program last week said that he was a truckie in his late 20s. And he's decided that trucking is what is in his blood. His father did it. His grandfather did it. But both of them came from rocky relationships because of the work. And he doesn't want to repeat what happened to his father and what happened to his grandfather. The truckie said he's experiencing long hours. And he's always tired. He's always cranky. And it's very hard to find a trustworthy partner while you're away from home for so long. If you have any advice, we would love to hear it. Give us a call. How do you maintain a relationship when so much of your time is spent away from home? Is there a secret? Can you offer this particular truckie some advice? And I know we have a lot of truckettes who listen to us. Girls, is it the same for you? Give us a call and let us know. Is there a secret to maintaining a relationship while you're on the road? 133353 is the telephone number. Now, I will spend more attention on that because when we brought it up earlier in the week, there were plenty of other issues that bogged us down, but we'll do that today. Here is just an observation that I had yesterday, and I'd like to share this with you. I was at my local shopping centre, and there they were, Christmas carols with Mrs. Claus. And I thought, fantastic, that's great. And there, next to Mrs. Claus, singing her Christmas carols for the kiddies at lunchtime, there was Santa in Santa's cave, taking snapshots with the kids. Fantastic. It's good old-fashioned stuff. What Australian doesn't have all those old photos in the photo album of you maybe with your brother or your sister sitting on Santa's knee asking Santa for treats for Christmas? Fantastic. Did you know these photos were $3 for $50? Jesus. $3 for $50. Am I out of touch? Is that outrageous? But guess what? The kids were actually sitting on a bench next to Santa. In my day, we used to sit on Santa's knee. Jess, you're a bit younger than me, but Did you and your brothers go to shopping centres and have your photos taken with Santa?
Yeah, it was so fun every single year.
Yeah, and did you sit on Santa's knee?
We did, all three of us.
Well, at my local shopping centre, it's a little bench next to Santa. And I thought, that's new. I thought, what, is that political correctness again? And you know me, I had to ask. And the centre management information desk is just there, right round the corner. And I said to the young girl, g'day. I said, how come they don't sit on Santa's knee anymore? Is that a centre management decision? Or is it just Santa who's sick of having little kids sitting on his knee, farting and, you know, doing whatever it is they do? And she said, oh, no. Some of the parents have said that they have concerns about their kids sitting on a stranger's knee. I said, what? A stranger? Santa is a stranger? I mean, he's familiar enough for them to go up and sit next to him and ask him for presents, but he's not familiar enough to sit on his knee? Serious? And she said, well, that's it. That's the spin that we're putting on it. It was a request from parents. And I said to her, don't all Santas have to be police checked? And she said, yes. So I said, so it's okay for kids to ask Santa for presents, greedy little shits that they are. It's okay for them to have their photos taken with him, three photos for $50, but their parents don't want their kids sitting on a stranger's knee? Really? Anyway, just an observation. 133353. Hey, Jess, I wonder how many out there in Triple M land, how many listeners we have that have been Santas. And if the kiddies are listening, kiddies, they're Santa's helpers, okay? They're Santa's helpers. Have you ever been a shopping centre or a department store Santa? What's it like? What goes on behind the scenes? Give us a call and let us know. Are the kids polite? And here's one for the parents, Jess. When the kids ask Santa for presents at the shopping centres, does it put undue pressure on the parents because they've got to follow through? I mean, you've got a kid there that says, I want a mobile phone. And Santa says, okay, you can have a mobile phone. What if the parents had no intention of getting little Jimmy a mobile phone? What do you do then? Mummy, Santa did bring me a mobile phone and he promised he would. And Santa, it's the last time I take you down there. Thanks a lot, Santa. Mummy, I asked Santa for a trip to Hawaii so I could swim with dolphins, and it hasn't happened. Fucking Santa. What do you do? What do you do? 133353 is the telephone number. On a serious matter, we have to mix it up, and this is the story of the day. The asylum seekers on Manus Island have been removed. They were forced to move after the local police stormed the facility yesterday morning. One asylum seeker has been arrested, while about 40 others have been forcibly moved onto buses waiting to take the men to alternative accommodation. Apparently still 350 men remain. They all sat on the ground and held their hands to avoid being moved, according to activists in contact with the men still inside. About 50 PNG police and immigration officers stormed the facility and gave the men an hour to leave. Officials then destroyed makeshift water catchment tanks and property while removing asylum seekers from their rooms. The Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton, has rejected reports any of the men were forcibly removed, but confirmed that there have been arrests during the ongoing police operation. He said, I think there are some people who wanted to volunteer to leave, but felt that they were required to stay, that they were under undue pressure from other wannabe refugees. He said, I think that it's difficult and hopefully people will voluntarily leave. We don't want to see any violence. He said the PNG authorities don't want to see any violence. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, has vowed Australia will not be pressured to take the men or change its border protection policies by the standoff. He said, I think that this is some way they can pressure the Australian government to let them come to Australia. Well, we will not be pressured. Now, so what do you do? What do you do? 350 men remain. Just remember, there were 1,300 former detainees on Manus Island, And the government came up with that compensation deal. It was worth $70 million, and then on top of that, $20 million to Slater and Gordon. The group of asylum seekers and wannabe refugees were compensated for being illegally detained between 2012 and 2016 and for negligence in how the government housed and protected them. Now, this didn't go to court. This was the Slater and Gordon threat, and the government said, let's just pay up. It never went to court. It reached an out-of-court settlement in June, just as the trial against the Commonwealth and the security companies Transfield and G4S were due to start. The group alleged the Commonwealth breached its duty of care by holding them in conditions that did not meet Australian standards. So they also said that they were falsely imprisoned after Papua New Guinea's Supreme Court ruled their detention was illegal. Of the 1,923 detainees who were eligible for compensation, 1,383 said yes, please, and they got it. Some of those who didn't register are those who left on the island. $70 million, remember that, didn't go to court. And these people were moved on to the United States and are now living happy, healthy lives. Slater and Gordon, which led the legal action, said it hoped that the detainees would get their money, and they did. So what's the answer? You bring these people to Australia, or take them to New Zealand, the whole thing starts again. The leaky boats will start appearing on the horizon again. The people smugglers will rub their hands together and say, here we go, another incentive. Ads go in newspapers in Syria and Iran and countries like that. And it costs up to $30,000 Australian dollars to go from Iran, for example, Syria, to Indonesia, onto a boat, and then hopefully getting to Christmas Island, hopefully getting stopped by Australia border control, and then they hope to come to Australia. And the moment you allow that to happen, more and more and more come. And that we know of, at least 1,200 people are at the bottom of the ocean. 1,200 people have drowned in attempting to come here. And that's just what we know of. We have no idea how many more boats have sunk. So the moment you allow people back into Australia through this back door, the more boats will come, the more boats will sink. I don't know. You tell me what you would do. 133353 is the telephone number. We were talking a lot this week about that pedophile TM in Dubbo. Well, he got a 2-year suspended sentence for pleading guilty to 10 counts of serious sexual assaults, including rape of 2 girls. Maybe, just maybe, if TM had confronted Judge Paul Conlon, a judge known as Judge Dredd, when he went to court, things would be a lot different. How's this? This is what I call justice. A pedophile who groomed, drugged, and then filmed himself sexually abusing a teenage girl for years was sentenced to a total of 955 years in jail on Wednesday. Tim Stewart, the protection order has been lifted. We're allowed to name him. What a prick this guy is. Tim Stewart, who represented himself at trial, had insisted the abuse was consensual because he and the girl acted like husband and wife. A dozen SD memory cards documenting his vile and incomprehensible crimes were found hidden inside the lining of this 45-year-old's jacket. And Judge Paul Conlon sentenced Stewart over 125 individual charges against the young girl, as well as charges against her sister and mum. Apparently, he indecently assaulted the young girl's sister and drugged the mother. The perverted sex attacker was sentenced to a total of 955 years. Realistically, that will amount to about 24 years in jail after being given an aggregate maximum term of 32. He pleaded guilty to 99 charges relating to the abuse, which occurred when the girl was aged between 12 and 15. His only defense? Oh, it was consensual. We acted as husband and wife. She was 12. A jury in July found him guilty of a further 28 offenses, including drugging the girl and her mother and indecently assaulting her younger sister when she was, are you ready, 11 years of age, about 11. So bring on more Judge Paul Conlon's, I say. Are you with me? Are you with me, Australia? Surely there's got to be a standard. There has to be a standard. I said it yesterday and I'll say it again. The judiciary is there to represent us. There has to be some sort of standard. And well done, Judge Paul Conlon. I wish there were more of him. 133353 is the telephone number. A little bit later this morning, I'm going to tell you an interesting story about a student from Mornington Secondary College who was refused entry to an Aldi store because of a blanket ban on those students because they have a problem with shoplifting. Now, the student's mother is furious. She said her son automatically was treated like a criminal. I want to ask you, is it fair to do this? Is it fair? Now, Jess, have you put the footage of this young boy from Mornington Secondary College on our Facebook yet? Is it there? It'll be there before the sun comes up. He can quite clearly see he's gone into an Aldi and the security guard or the manager, whoever it is, handled it quite well. He's under orders. He said, sorry, we can't have you in here. There is a blanket ban on this one particular school because they've got a problem with shoplifting. So this kid was not allowed to go into Aldi. And as the mother said, he immediately felt like a criminal. Is it fair to blanket ban a school? Let's take it further. Is it okay to blanket ban people of a certain ethnicity? Oh, sorry. We don't serve Aboriginals in this store because we've had shoplifting. Is that saying the same thing? Sorry, we don't serve Lebanese in this store because of shoplifting. Sorry, we don't serve Chinese, Asian, Indians, whatever. Can you blanket ban a certain group because of shoplifting? On this occasion, it's the Mornington Secondary College. That's what I'm wondering. You see, everybody's so willing to go to court these days, and I just wonder if this young boy has a case of discrimination. We are a litigious society. Everybody knows that we all walk on eggshells when this sort of thing happens. I think Aldi could be in trouble. I really do. But you tell me what you think. Have you ever been discriminated against because of the way you look, because of the colour of your skin, because of the school uniform you wear? 133353 is the number. So can you find love on the road? I want to address that this morning because I'm going away next week. Young Liam will be driving this truck from next Sunday midnight. And I'll be having a week off. I've got family business to attend to and a few other things. So it's my last night for a week. I'd love to talk to you. Plenty to talk about this morning. Why don't you jump on board and say good day? Welcome to the Good Ship Night Shift on the Triple M Network. Where am I going? I'm going to Brisbane, am I, Jess? Roscoe, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, Roscoe?
Oh, look, I'm just having a ball, mate, having a ball.
Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you up?
Why am I up? Oh, well, a bit of a night owl.
Yeah, fair enough. What's going on? You got a story for me?
Well, yes, I've been Santa's little helper.
Yes, okay. I've been dying to talk to someone who's done this. did you do this in a big shopping centre or a little shopping? Where was it?
Well, when I first did it, I went around to a few kinders and did a few kinders and so forth.
How long ago was this?
Oh, about 12 years ago.
Okay, take me through it. You have to do a police check?
Yes. Oh, yeah, full police check.
Yep.
And make sure that you weren't a dirty old man.
Yes.
But, then I went into, can I say the name of the company?
Not just yet. Let me see how we turn out, okay?
Alrighty. Well, we went into an electrical store.
Yes, okay. That's all you need to say, yeah.
And I did a stint there for a while. And the funny part about it was, yeah, it was good money, but it took them a hell of a long time to get it to you. Like, you do the job to make a little bit of extra cash for Christmas.
Yes.
Well, I got paid in February.
Right. Yeah. That is a long time.
So they do have a tendency to hang out if anyone wanted to do, one of the helpers.
How much did they pay? Were you paid by the hour or was it a set fee?
It was a set fee that I was on at the time.
Yeah. What was it? Can you tell me 12 years ago?
Oh, God. I think we're on about $80 a day.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and like you went in for 4 hours in the morning and then 4 hours in the afternoon.
Okay, it's a fair day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Putting up with a lot of little snots.
hey, hey. Talking of snots, talking of the little snots, did they sit on your knee or on a bench next to you?
No, no, I had them sitting on my knee.
Okay, see, at my shopping centre yesterday, they're on a little stool, not a stool, it's a little bench. And I asked why, and they said, oh, the parents don't want kids sitting on a stranger's knee. I said, stranger, he's bloody Santa. he's familiar enough for you to come down here, get your kids to go up there, have their photos taken with him and ask him for stuff for Christmas. But he's not familiar enough to sit on his knee. Tell me, what training, Roscoe, did you have to have?
Well, we had a 4 weeks of, like, 4 weekends it was, over a month.
And what sort of things did they teach you?
Oh, you get taught how to speak.
Go on, show me.
Yeah. Oh, ho, 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 ho. And how are you, Luke, tonight? What would you like for Christmas, young man?
That's beautiful. and what happens when one of the snots says, hey, Santa, I want the new Apple phone. I want a smartphone. Do you say yes?
Oh, no. You had to look at the parent sort of sideways because they're not far away. And you sort of go, well, look, Santa will have to have a discussion with Mummy and Daddy about that. After all, it is their decision whether or not you're allowed to have something like that.
Okay.
You do realise it's a big responsibility.
Okay. Gee, you got your Santa stuff down, Pat. That's fantastic.
Oh, man. The list of things that you're allowed to say, the do's and don'ts, is huge. Like back when I did it, we were even told where we had... Do you want to know the reason he has white gloves on?
Okay. Why has he got white gloves on?
So you can see where his hands are.
You're kidding.
I nearly dropped it then. I to you not.
So Santa's got white gloves so that everyone can clearly see where his hands are.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. They told you that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, you had to be very careful when you had the kids sitting on your knee and all that sort of thing. You had to be very, very careful where you had your hands.
Oh, of course.
Because, you know, in the photos, it can make your hands look inappropriate.
Of course. Do you remember how much the photos were when you were doing it?
Oh, shit. There was all
Santa,
sorts of deals.
Santa.
My apologies.
Ho, ho, sorry. Go on.
Santa, oopsie.
Because at the shopping centre down the road, it was $50 for 3 photos.
Oh, that was a bargain.
Was it?
Because now some of the deals are $500.
No way.
Yeah, because, they go through, there's these single photos, and look, there's these photos here from this angle, and there's those photos there. And, we can put a pretty banner around the photo, if you like, for Nanny and Pops.
Oh.
And so they try and sell these
of course they do.
Bundles.
Yeah. So tell me, Santa.
Yep.
What do you make of kids not sitting on Santa's knee anymore?
Oh, look.
It was probably bound to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's just taken... Like, over the years, you've seen the Santa's chair get bigger and bigger. And so you knew that eventually along the line that kids weren't going to be allowed to sit on Santa's knee and all that sort of business. And to me, it's just spoiled it, you know. Like, come on, it's once a year. We're having a bit of fun.
Hey, tell me, of all your Santa experience, what's the rudest little snot you've ever met and what do they ask for?
Oh, I had one ask for a little brother.
You had one ask for a little brother.
Yeah.
And did you look sideways at Mummy and say, oh, Santa's going to have to discuss that with Mummy?
Oh, look, we sort of looked sideways and one thing. Lucky enough, Mummy and Daddy were both there. And they both burst in laughing and sort of had cracked it all up and covered me. I didn't have to answer that question.
I think that's wonderful.
But one of the ones I had was, I saw these kids come through the door and they were yahooing and they didn't spot me for a second. And stupid mummy, now they know that Santa's in there. Well, stupid mummy had given these kids chocolates. Next thing I've got this kid screaming down, Santa, and the hands are going and around. Well, as he got about 20 feet away, I realised it wasn't just chocolate on his hands, it was snot down his nose. And
Geez.
I've had to meet him, to put the hand out and go, and lucky enough, little Elf had tissues and so forth, and we quickly cleaned him up.
I'd have a troop of elves with cans of Glen 20.
Look, some of them you sort of look and go, I had one that got a baby in the knee.
Hang on, your phone's breaking up.
Oh, how's that?
You're going?
Yeah, I had a poopy nappy. They dropped him straight on my knee.
Put him straight on your knee. Yes, that's what you want.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have a chance to put a towel on my knee or anything like that.
That's what you want for Christmas. Look, yeah, that's what you want for Christmas.
Santa had to call time out for that one.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure Santa did. Hey, listen, I've got to let you go, Roscoe. That's beautiful stuff, mate. Thank you for sharing.
All right, Luke. No worries, mate.
Okay, give us one more ho, ho, ho on Triple M.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Thank you, Roscoe. See you later. Doesn't get better than that. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. Yeah, a little bit later, I'm going to talk to veterinary surgeon Rob Zammit. I saw a thing on TV the other day about the thousands of pets, unwanted pets, that are given at Christmas, and the dogs that come from puppy farms. And I tell you what, it's confronting stuff. I think that some of the images Jess has put on our Facebook, the puppy farm stuff, Jess. Yeah, it's pretty awful stuff, isn't it? Every Christmas, thousands of pets are advertised as gifts through the classifieds and indeed in the pet shops. And sadly, most of the pets, especially the puppies, are raised through unscrupulous puppy farms. We'll talk about that later this morning, but there should be a ban on them, shouldn't there? There should be a ban. If you are in the pet business, can you give me a call and tell me what you think the solution is? Because the photographs that Jess and I were looking at yesterday, Jess, they're pretty awful, aren't they? Pretty terrible, these puppy farms.
Yeah, very confronting stuff.
And they've got these dogs that their whole lives, they're in tiny cages or these concrete cells, and their job is to breed. And they just go season to season to season to season, pumping out dogs. And it's just awful. It is just bloody awful. Anyway, if you know anything about that, give us a call, 133353. And how do you know that the little, cute little puppy that's prancing around in the front window of the pet shop hasn't come from a puppy farm? Rob Zammit joining us on that topic later this morning. Richard, g'day.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Richard, where are you?
Warnervale at the moment.
Warnervale. Where's that for the rest of Australia?
Central New South Wales. Central Coast, New South Wales.
You live there?
I do at the moment, yeah.
Okay, what's up?
Santa Claus thing. I went to a shopping centre the other day and the Santa Claus couldn't hold my baby granddaughter properly. I thought he may have had a few sherbs under the belt.
Really?
And actually, I got offered the job. They were going to get rid of him that day and give me the job if I wanted it.
Take me through it. So he was a shopping centre Santa.
Yep. The Santa Claus payday thing.
Yeah.
Shoot. And he just could not hold the baby.
What do you mean?
He couldn't hold a baby. Didn't know how to hold a baby.
Don't you learn that in Santa school?
Mate, I had to grab a head. I thought a head was going to go in between his elbow and his ribs. He just had no idea.
Did you say something?
Oh, yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah. I said, you got to be effing kidding, mate. And he sort of just looked at me with a dumb look on his face and just, yeah, I had to prop his shoulder, elbow up to his ribs and pretty much sit her on him while I held him still. and then they took the photo.
And yeah, and you just said a second ago you reckon he'd had a few sherbets.
Oh yeah. Looked like they found him out off the street.
Could you smell his breath?
Oh, I wasn't going that close to him.
No, fair enough. So
didn't vote yes.
Stop it. Tell me, did you mention it to centre management? Did you?
Oh no, I walked back up to the ones that were running the camera shoot. I said, "You got to be kidding me!" I didn't know about it. I just said, "That's hopeless." And then they just said, "Well, what are you doing up until Christmas?" I said, "I'll drive a bloody truck." They said, "Oh, you don't want this gig for a while?" I went, "No."
So they said they offered you the job.
They offered me a 9-to-5 job.
Did they mention money?
No. I just said, no, I'm not interested. They asked me a couple of times. There was two different ones asking. And they actually went and asked me missus.
You've got to do all sorts of police checks and security checks, surely, to be a Santa.
Oh, well, I don't know. Not by the sound of it.
They didn't mention anything about a police check?
Nope.
They just said you can start now.
Yeah.
In fact, they said, can you start this afternoon? Is that what you said?
Well, they pretty much said, yeah, well, we'd start you now. I said, nah, thanks.
You can't just do that. I'm sure there's training.
You'd think you'd have to do some security background check.
Absolutely. You wouldn't let Rolf Harris be a Santa, would you?
Nah. But, that one. And the one with the roadworks, with old matey getting done up there in Queensland, in the roadworks, got killed.
Yeah. That was, what, two Sundays ago now, yeah.
Yeah. What happens when you go into a tunnel and there's something with the road up ahead? It goes across your FM radio. They transmit a signal.
That's right. That's right.
Why can't they have that in the roadworks? Like, fair enough, they have a go at us truck drivers because we know where the roadworks are. We know exactly where they are. We know what speed we can go through them. Now, if it's going from two lanes into one, you'll notice a lot of trucks straddle both lanes so that we don't get jammed in with cars ducking up either side of it.
Yeah.
That's why we approach the roadworks, and we're usually two abreast approaching the roadworks. The roadworks crew get the proverbial shit because they see two trucks belting down on them. Well, it's not because we're racing into the roadworks. It's because we're stopping the cars, tearing around us, and then jumping on the brakes in front of it.
Right.
Now, we know the roadworks are there because they get on the two-way, slow down in the trucks. Well, get on your radio and tell the cars through an FM transmitter.
Just like you do through the tunnels, yeah.
Yeah. And as with old mate that, going to be a truck driver or whatever, they worry about being lonely and tired and all that sort of stuff. And, I've been married, I think, 16, 17 years.
Yeah, you better be sure of that.
Oh, no, we passed that situation. but I had to do it. I had a disabled daughter, so my wife was a stay-at-home mum. That's how we done it. There's truck driving is a pretty good income. Long hours, everything else, but you do take home a decent pack.
How do you hold the relationship together then? What's your advice?
My advice is honesty, but also know when to lie. No, I'm serious. You've got to be honest up front, tell them what you're doing, when you're doing it, and everything else. But if you know that you're going to get home, say, at 3 in the morning, tell them 4 in the morning. Because if something goes wrong and you don't get home at 3 in the morning, you're in the shit.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were going to say, if they were expecting you at 3 in the morning, you get home at midnight to see what's going on.
No. That's where the trust bit comes into it.
That's right. It's a very important thing, the trust.
I lost my daughter 3 years ago earlier on this year. Me and my wife split up for 2 years.
Really?
And then we've been back together for a bit over a year now, and we're stronger and closer than we ever were.
The 2 years that you were apart, did you both have relationships with other people?
I didn't. She did.
You didn't. She did.
Yeah. My scenario was I just had to start work. I just couldn't sit around and let, you know, the passing of our daughter stuff up with me head. So I just put me nose to the grindstone and just 7 days a week just drove.
I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter.
Oh, that's all right, mate. It's all right. It was our call to turn the machines off, so it wasn't like it was an accident or anything. It was a medical issue. Yeah. You know, I got mates out here on the highway that give me shit all the time. And instead of having a tear, you have a cry. Instead of having a tear or a cry, you have a laugh over it.
How old was she?
10.
And what was up with her?
She had a shitload of illnesses, chromosome disorders, that type of stuff, and she went in for foot surgery and never got out of hospital, in hospital for 9 months.
Oh, dear. And then eventually she was on a machine and you had to make a choice.
Oh, well, yeah, lungs collapsed. They wanted to fly her back to Brisbane. We just said no. Just give her drugs to make her comfortable and let her go.
Tell me this, the voluntary euthanasia bill that was passed in the upper house in Victoria yesterday, it's one of the big issues of the week. What did you make of that?
It won't affect a lot of people. It's a right decision. If you're old enough to make that call, yes, make the call. Allow yourself to pass away if you're comfortable and everything else, and you have no quality of life, yeah.
One area it doesn't cover, I mean, it covers people who are terminally ill. But what if you're not terminally ill? Well, we all are. We're all going to die one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're like my aunt who got to 91 and she's in a nursing home and she hated it? She sat in the chair and stared out the window. And I used to visit her every second Saturday and take her out for coffee.
Mm.
And even though she'd forgotten I'd come, the moment I dropped her back home, it was during that time. It was fun. We were talking, and I would ask her about my grandfather, and her long term memory was excellent. She would tell me great stories about when she was growing up and when she was a little girl, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm.
But she told me, she said, "I'm ready to go. I'm a burden. I don't see much of my family. I know I'm a burden to them." She said, "I wish I could take a pill." She said, "I wish I could have everyone gather around. We have a little party, and then I take a little pill and off to sleep." That's what she wanted. Now, this legislation being passed in Victoria doesn't cover that.
Well, I was in the same boat. My daughter couldn't use her bowels. She couldn't feed herself. Mm. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. We had to do everything for her. She couldn't stand. We had to literally, she was a baby at 10 years old. Except none of her body functions worked at all.
What about her mental capacity?
Nah, she was mentally, when she was 7 years old, she was around 2 in brain.
Well, you've certainly lived and are living a very rich life, and you've commented on a number of interesting issues this morning, and I've enjoyed talking to you. Richard, I'll let you keep going. Keep trucking.
Yep, no worries, mate.
And promise me you'll call me back.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
What an interesting character, eh? So much to talk about. 133353 is the telephone number. Why don't you get involved? We'd love to talk to you. It's Friday, after all.
Overnight talk stations. Take heed. You've finally got some stiff competition. Luke Boner, The Night Shift, around Australia on the Triple M network.
Some feedback that's come through. Bill on Twitter says, would love a shout-out. Love the show. Listen every night. I'm new to Twitter. Cheers from Bill. I am too. Bill, I have no idea how to use it. Just sort of looks after it.
You haven't even tried. You don't even give it a chance.
Do I need to?
It'd be nice if you had a look once in a while, Dahl.
Yeah. Louise on Facebook says, Luke and Jess, my kids are in their 30s and I never, ever let my kids sit on Santa's knee. Paul, animals are not Christmas presents or birthday presents or presents, full stop. I agree with you, Paul. Not randomly, anyway. I mean, if somebody's asked, like if you've got a son or a daughter and they've wanted a puppy. But I've completely changed the way I feel about choosing pets now. I would never get one out of a newspaper, but I would go to a rescue shelter and I would take the family. And you've got to let the whole family choose the dog or the cat, haven't you? I don't know. Brad says, puppy farmers should be beaten. In regards to the student from Mornington Secondary College who was refused entry to an Aldi because of a blanket ban on the students because of shoplifting, Justin says, any business has the right to refuse service to anyone. You see, is it discrimination though, Justin? I mean, in your eyes, yes, okay, you if you owned a business, you'd like to be able to refuse service to anyone you chose fit. But in this day and age, see, what happened here, this boy had the Mornington Secondary College uniform on, and the Aldi said, we don't serve you people because we've had problems with you guys shoplifting. And it was a blanket ban. Well, what if there was a blanket ban on all Pakistanis or all Aboriginals or all Lebanese, Jess, or Calathumpian? Because we've had problems shoplifting. What do you do then? Is it discrimination? Is it a human rights issue? See, there are some people who will take it that far. I'm not joking. 133353. G'day, Pete in Adelaide. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, good, Peter. Welcome along.
Thank you. I was driving home and heard you talk about the refugees, so I couldn't resist giving you a buzz.
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, there needs to be political will on both sides, and I'll come to that. But the solution, I think, is that disincentivize the whole thing. And at the moment, no one's coming up with any solution to just playing the politics. And there's politics on the Indonesian side, of course, as well.
Yes, indeed.
But the simple, simple solution is that boat on the horizon, you pick it up and you take it back to Java and you take those people off that boat. Say there's 37, pick a number, 137, 237, regardless of the number, and you put him in the UNHCR camp on Java. And however many that you put in that camp, you take 237 out and you bring them to Australia because they've already been vetted. They're sitting there. They can't afford to hop on the people smugglers' boats, and they're genuine refugees. Now, the people flying in, coming in, whatever, if they know that they come to Australia, they've got to sit in that camp in Java for whatever the time it takes, are they going to come? No, they're not. But what happens in Australia? There's a political party that will say, we're tough on boats. The other one's moot at the moment, but let a whole stack in before. So they're playing politics on the left and the right of this, if you will, the black and the white of it. They're not looking at the solution, and that's a simple one, a very straightforward, simple one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm just trying to think laterally on it. Wouldn't your solution still encourage cook boats?
Not when there's, I think, and I stand to be corrected, someone will ring up or text or tell the right number, but there's thousands in the camp. So it's not as if there's a couple of hundred.
Mm.
So however long it takes, are you going to sit there and hope that there's, there's 10,000 people come by boat to come in behind you so you can hop on that, be the 10,000 first person to get to Australia? I don't think so.
Well, I tell you what, if getting to Manus Island or Christmas Island and then hopefully onto Australia isn't an incentive, getting a compensation deal for $70 million for 1,300 detainees, if that's not an incentive, I don't know what is.
Yeah, well, that's the politics of the situation, isn't it? We've created our own mess, and we're not really looking at solving it. We're just holding back the dam until it breaks open again in some way, shape or form, like you said earlier on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Slater and Gordon wouldn't mind them coming.
Oh, mate, well, that's it. You know, vested interest. No one's really seriously interested in solving the problem. They're just playing the politics, playing the cash. There is outcomes.
All right. Look, I have to leave it there. I've got a network commitment coming up, Peter, but thank you very much for throwing that into the pot. Let's have a talk about it, eh?
Cool.
Okay. Cheers. Call me back anytime, okay? You've got Liam next week. You're going to meet Liam shortly. Folks, this is The Night Shift. It's the Friday edition. Great to have your company. I hope you're well as we head towards another weekend and day two of the Ashes at the Gabba. coming up today in Brisbane. We'll talk to Gus Walland about that bit later on this morning. This is The Night Shift around Australia.
Yes, how do you maintain a relationship when there is such a distance between you? In my case, all the better.
When I lived in Canberra and commuted between Sydney and Canberra for 6 months, a couple of years ago, Nikki couldn't have been happier. She thought it was fantastic. Saw me on weekends, said goodbye to me on Monday morning. See you later. Big smile on the face. It works for some people. It doesn't work for other people. How do you maintain a relationship on the road? Give us a call. And have you ever been a department store Santa? What goes on behind the scenes? 133353. Jay, g'day.
Yeah, how you going, Luke?
I'm very good, Jay. Whereabouts are you?
Kooi Rup in Victoria, southeast Melbourne.
Say that again, Kooi?
Kooi Rup.
Kooi Rup, where's that?
Down towards Phillip Island.
Okay, I've never been there.
Yeah, it's a country town, or was, full of asparagus and broccolini, more or less.
Okay, so it's a farming area?
Yeah, farming area.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's all fun and games down here.
And why are you up at this hour of the morning?
Work night shift, harvesting the asparagus.
Okay, fair enough.
I've got 60 blokes. I've got to coordinate through paddocks and
do you harvest asparagus? So I'll let you get on. I know that's not why you rang, but it interests me. I like hearing what other people do. Is it all done by machine or are you got to do it by hand?
Nah, by hand. So it's a serrated knife or paint scraper welded to half a golf club, and you cut each stick of asparagus one by one by hand.
And it's on the end of a golf club, so you don't have to bend down.
Yeah, you've got to half bend down to grab the top of it when you cut it, and yeah, you throw it all on top of a row, and a tractor comes along and picks it up, puts it in the crate.
And it's harvesting season now, is it?
Yeah, right now. We'll go through until February, March, around there somewhere.
And then you send it off where? To Edgell's or to a cannery or what?
We've got a big packing shed, and from there we export overseas.
Oh, really?
Woolies, Coles, Aldi, take it to market.
Okay. And is the farm that you're on, is it owned by Australians?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got a fair few acres. Couldn't tell you how much exactly, but I know there's a lot out there.
And you're the first asparagus harvester I've spoken to. That's someone's got to do it, and you have to do it at night, do you?
At night's the best time because when the sun's out, if it spends too much time in the sun, it just wilts, and yeah, you can tie knots in it, and then no one wants to buy it.
So at night
it stays nice and fresh, and
it sits up.
Got boys coming in shortly to pick it all up in the trucks, take it to the cool room, and we'll probably go through until 9, 10 in the morning.
Wow, hard work. And tell me this, is it hard finding workers?
Yeah or no. We use a lot of Asians, and we use some Nevans that come across from Vanuatu.
They come across from Vanuatu. And is that because Australians don't want the work? Is it too hard? Why do you survive on foreign workers?
Well, put it this way, I pick up a knife and spend about 15 hours cutting a week, and that's 15 hours too much for me.
Yeah, okay, but what I'm saying is we have hundreds of thousands of Australians saying they can't find work. Now, this is obviously hard work, but here you are telling me, and I hear the same thing from sugarcane, I hear the same thing with the pineapples and the bananas. It doesn't matter where you are in Australia. It doesn't matter whether you're picking fruit in the Riverina, if you're picking cherries in Young. It is these people that arrive in and they do it. They do it quickly. They do it efficiently. And they're
well,
out.
That's what it comes down to. Most Australians are lazy, as we all know. And these guys are on a kilo rate, so it depends on how fast you work as to how much you will earn an hour.
Yeah, so you get paid by weight. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting, folks, to hear from Jay that most Australians don't want this work? And so you survive on people who come here on 2457 visas, I guess, or they're now 400 visas.
And yeah, well, the NEVAN, that's a seasonal workers program. So we get them in purely just to do this. They don't travel around finding their own work. We recruit them straight from this program.
You recruit them overseas?
Yes.
Now, you see, and you'll get hundreds of Australians who'll say, these bloody overseas workers stealing our jobs. And it turns out that Australians don't want these jobs, and without these transitional workers that you rely on from overseas, you wouldn't get the asparagus picked.
Funnily enough, I was down the supermarket about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, would have been 2 years ago. One bloke saw the knee vans coming in and go, here's the workers again, steal our jobs, rah, rah, rah. And he was just talking to a mate. I stopped and said, do you have a job, mate? He goes, no, I'm on the dole. I go, well, here's the address, come down, we'll give you a knife and I'll give you a job. No, I'm not doing that. That's too hard. And don't complain about them coming in and stealing our jobs if you're not willing to pick up a knife when you're on the dole.
Well, they're not stealing the jobs if no one wants the jobs.
That's exactly it.
Here's the next question, though. These people from overseas that you hire on these special visas,
yep,
are they getting paid award wages?
Yes, they are. At the moment, they're on an hourly rate. Without going into it, we had a bit of a dilemma with Border Force and whatnot. And these knee van workers, they're now all on the hourly rate, which works out better because they're cutting it for cheaper than the kilos, but they're earning more money.
Hang on, I thought you said that they got paid per weight.
The Asians we have do, but to get the knee vans in...
Knee vans, eh? I've never heard that before.
That's Islander term, so your Samoans and Vanuatu, Fijians... they're called knee vans.
Knee vans? Why are they called knee vans?
I don't know. It's their race, so to speak.
That's their term, is it? Okay.
Yeah, that's their term.
Wow.
But yeah, so to get those guys back this year, they all had to be on a hourly rate, which it's actually the pace they move, they're earning more money, but with the contractor, it's actually cheaper for us to have them on the hourly rate than the kilos.
And if a local Australian, where you are at Coowirup,
yep,
came up to you and said, listen, give me a knife, I want to have a crack at this, you'd say no worries at all?
I'd say no worries, and I'd give them $100 if they lasted a week.
Wow, folks, are you listening to this? This is what's going wrong. 133353 is the number. Jay, that's not why you rang up.
No, it's not. I rang up, I don't know if you've heard of them yet, you're not too social media savvy, but the Flat Earthers.
Hang on, what did you say? I'm what?
Not too social media.
Yeah, you've been listening to the White Ant, haven't you?
Oh, I've been listening pretty much since December last year.
Since we started.
Yeah, I'm in and out of the car all night and they just leave Triple M on, so I've heard quite a bit of yous.
Okay, so Jess has now told everyone I'm not media savvy, and which is the truth.
You haven't even opened Twitter ever. He says tweet us at instead of tweet us at. It's tragic. It's woeful, Lukey. You've got no one to blame but yourself, Dal. You've got all the passwords. I've hooked you up to everything.
When we first started, I thought that if you tweeted, it made you a twat.
That's what?
Yeah, until I was put right.
Well, I won't lie here. I don't even have a Twitter account myself.
Yeah, okay. All right. But anyway, you wanted to tell me about the Flat Earthers. I have heard of the Flat Earthers. We had one bloke ring us one morning.
Yeah.
And he was off the planet.
They're making a comeback.
Are they?
Oh, they are growing at a substantial rate.
Tell me about the Flat Earthers. Yeah. Go on.
Well, obviously, if you don't know, there are people that believe the Earth is flat, and regardless of what science says, the Earth is flat. Now, I've had conversations or disagreements, I'll say, with three people now. One was about 3 years ago, and he wasn't the full quid. He was the patty short of a cheeseburger, so it was just water on a duck's back. And then a bloke a few months ago, he was a bit the same. And you shut them down, you don't understand. You're living in lies, this and that. But this morning, my father-in-law hit me with it.
Aww.
Now, I thought he was a very intelligent person.
Yeah.
I won't lie there. But we argued for 2 hours this morning. And every time with these flat earthers, you back them into a corner, it's two answers. You don't understand or you live in a lie.
What about the photographs of Earth from space?
No, NASA apparently Photoshop every photo that comes from space.
What about the Russians who have the same photos?
No, same deal. It's all Photoshopped.
Photoshopped, eh?
Now, they say the Earth's flat with the sun going around, not around the Earth, but above the Earth. Just goes around in a circle above the Earth, so it doesn't actually go around the globe like we all think, if that makes sense to you.
And how do they explain the eclipse then?
When the sun, when the moon gets between us and the sun, and I also asked the shadow on the moon from the Earth is curved. Explain that one.
Yeah. What about when you get on a ship and you set sail and you go over the
and you don't fall
and you go over the horizon? How is it that these bloody leaky boats are getting here in the first place?
Yeah, well, it's funnily enough, I said when a ship goes over the horizon, you can still see the sails, but you can't see the ship itself. And it is, our eyes can only see so far, so they're playing a trick on you. That's why you can't see the bottom of the ship. I said, but if I can see the sails, I should be able to see the ship.
But what do they say when you say, how come I can circumnavigate the Earth in an aeroplane or on a ship?
Well, here's the thing. Around us is Antarctica. On their flat Earth, it's a circle. The edge of the circle is all Antarctica, and in the smack bang in the middle is the Arctic. So they're saying we still get our bearings north, south, east and west, with the Arctic being north.
Hang on. But you can circumnavigate the Earth.
Yeah, but...
And not fall off.
I know. But it goes further, because apparently beyond this ice wall that's Antarctica, there's aliens.
Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
Yes.
This gets better and better. And in the space of a week, my father-in-law is 100% convinced that all this bullshit is true.
Where did he get his info? Was he just online or did he talk to people?
I brought up something about it about a week ago. And we had a laugh about it. It was something to do with a helicopter and whatnot. And from there, I think it's played on his mind, and he's spent about 2.5 hours for the last week on YouTube.
YouTube. Oh,
they're very strong in their beliefs. They won't be shaken.
Hey, listen, my mother-in-law, lovely woman, I love her to death. She believes that all of mankind came from Adam and Eve, and there are people who would argue that that's ludicrous as well. She believes that Noah put two of every animal on an ark.
Yeah, well,
and there are people who believe that. Where did they find the mosquitoes?
One up as well.
And you have to know it was one male, one female. Did they have microscopes back in Noah's day?
Did you nothing?
Because how would you know which mosquito was male?
Stop it, you're hurting my brain.
Sorry.
Yeah, my father-in-law, never been one for the Bible, religion, anything like that. Today he referred to the Bible for backup. In the Bible backup. It says the earth is flat.
Yeah.
So,
all right, well, we'll keep an eye and an ear out for the flat earthers, okay? Can I just say this to you, Jay, from Kooyrup?
Yeah.
Can I just say this to you? It's people like the flat earthers that make people like you and me and Jess feel better about ourselves, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are you with me?
Oh, I'm with you.
Have a good day.
I will, you too.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
See you, guys.
Can't sleep? Bored on the job? Get amongst the conversation now on the night shift. This is Luke Boner with Jess around Australia on the Triple M network.
And what would you refer them to? The flatties? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, flatzos.
The flatzos.
Yeah, the flat crew.
Yeah, go for that. Flatties, hey? Hey? Hey?
Are you going to take calls? If they're a flat earthers, do we want them to call in?
Oh, I'd love to hear from the flatties. Why would you do that to me?
Why would you do that, Jess? I'm not going to put him to air, Dal. I got your back, Lukey.
Oh, I don't mind talking to a couple of flatties. That's what we're here for, isn't it? This is Dire Straits. It's called So Far Away on the Night Shift.
On Triple M.
Good morning, Australia, and welcome to Friday, November the 24th. We can sniff the weekend. We can. Sydney, 27 today, and a mostly sunny day. It's going to be a warm weekend. Brisbane, 28 today, partly cloudy, and once again, a warm weekend, 28 over Saturday and Sunday. Townsville, 31 today, and sunny, and 31 both Saturday and Sunday. Melbourne 33 on Saturday, 26 on Sunday. There is a high chance of showers. Adelaide 26 and partly cloudy. Saturday and Sunday for Adelaide, 24 on Saturday, 24 on Sunday, partly cloudy. Hobart 27 and the chance of showers. Saturday 26, Sunday 26, cloudy and a high chance of showers in Perth. Highs of 33, 32 on Saturday, 33 on Sunday, and sunny. So there you are. 133353 is the telephone number, folks. In fact, I was going to announce this now, but I'll let Neo, who rang in and gave us the heads up on this, his time in the sun. G'day, Neo.
G'day, Luke. How are you, mate?
I'm very, very good. Am I glad you rang? Neo has noticed something, and folks, I want you to know you heard it here first on the Night Shift on the Triple M Network. When you talk about this today, remember you heard it on the Night Shift. Neo, hit us with your observation.
Oh, wow. I'm doing an exclusive.
You are.
I've come across it. Google, of all people, like, you see it out in the shops now. Merry Christmas. It's out there. It's finally, you can say it normally. But now Google have come along. And when you check to see, like, Kmart, Big W or something like that, Google have put underneath Family Day.
Yep.
Not Christmas anymore. It's Family Day.
This is for the trading hours, when they advertise the trading hours.
It's I don't know. Yeah, that's what it is. And they're not calling it Christmas Day. They're calling it Family Day.
This is absolutely right, folks. When you go into... Jess, come in here for a sec, because Jess has done all this. She's the whiz. I wonder how many other people have noticed this.
It just makes my blood boil. It's like everything's just going to normality, and then they've just got to come under the radar and then spring Family Day on us when it's, you know, Merry Christmas.
Folks, just let me explain. Jess, what happens is you Google
Just type in, Kmart Christmas hours, and the same thing happened for Big W Christmas hours.
So where it once said Christmas hours, it now says Family Day.
Day of the family might affect these hours.
Day of the family. Google has taken out Christmas Day, and it's now called Day of the Family. And if you're anywhere near a computer, you do it. So what do we type in?
Just type in Kmart Christmas hours or Big W Christmas hours. They're the only two I've tried. But pretty crazy, isn't it? So that's on the Google search, not the actual Kmart website, not the Big W website. This is Google's decision.
So it's not a Kmart decision?
No.
This is Google?
Yes. It comes up in the Google search.
And it used to say Christmas hours. Mm. How did you discover this, Neo?
I came across it under Grace's thing. Grace Cocker is on my Facebook. It was on her page. But it's also, if you type in Family Day Google, apparently some Australian CEO of Google has put in fine print. Santa's elves are working on this to, you know, rectify it and put it back to Christmas Day instead of Family Day.
Family Day.
Day of the Family.
Day of the Family.
Day of the Family. Excuse me. But, yeah, it's still ridiculous.
Are you listening? Are you listening to this, folks? Remember, you heard it here first. To all the producers of the Breakfast Television programs, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Give us a plug today. The Day of the Family.
Yep. It's ridiculous. I've no words for it, mate. It just baffles me. It's like, like I said, everything's just gone back to normal. You know, you see it in the shops. They've got finally Merry Christmas properly. And then, someone comes in and call it Day of the Family. Crazy.
Very, very strange. It'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction this will get. Because, you know, it's so strange. We talk about this all the time on the show. When things like this happen and we stop using traditional things that we've done in the past, like having Christmas and Easter celebrated and calling it Christmas and Easter, and in schools they've banned traditions like this, which are known to Australian culture. Ask all the time, are the Australian people the ones pushing for this, or is it the organisations or the schools that want it? Because we've never had a single caller on this show or any type of feedback, and I've never personally spoken to anyone who is for this change.
It's people who wake up in the morning, they put their feet on the bed, they stretch, they yawn. They stretch, they yawn, they go, now, how can I be offended today?
Well, and that's what I've been saying to people, 2017, year of the offended.
It's strange because we're such a laid-back culture.
Oh,
well, we used to be.
It's just crazy. We did, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. You probably can't walk around in your thongs and not offend somebody. Anyway, yeah, that's my little spill on everything, but I hope everyone's well.
Well done, Neo.
A round of applause for Neo.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.
No, all good.
So, we will now put this story on the Night Shift Facebook page, which has 30,900 followers. How many have we got?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah?
Around there.
You watch this. This will take off. This will be a big story today, and it started here on the Night Shift. You watch.
Thanks, Neo.
Thank you, Neo. So, you go to Google.
And just type in Big W Christmas Hours or Kmart Christmas Hours, and I'm sure it probably is the same for other big department stores. And just see what comes up.
That's unbelievable, is it not?
It's not good, Lukey.
It's not good. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, Luke. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm okay, Brendan. Are you in Perth?
Absolutely, mate.
Listening to Mix 94.5, I hope.
Is the way to go.
It's the only way to go.
Absolutely, Luke. Absolutely, mate. But, just listening to all those calls while I've been on hold, I'm really disgusted with the treatment of that Maria with the dog down at Fountain Gate.
Which one?
The one, the caller you had earlier.
The guide dog. That Marie, yeah, that was absolutely terrible. And you know what? It happens. And I would have thought it was common knowledge everywhere that people who have working guide dogs are allowed access anywhere. I mean, it's just plain bloody ignorance, and we shouldn't tolerate it.
Oh, that's absolutely right, Luke. That's absolutely right. We should not tolerate it whatsoever. And you also named this person, I think it was from Kingswood. If he's listening, come over to WA because the police will be waiting for him if he puts up an advert on Gumtree offering strangers to pay money to take demerits of speeding fines because the police here in Western Australia do crack down on it very seriously.
Yeah, he doesn't place the ads. He responds to them.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the ads are already there. I had no idea. There are people do it on Facebook. There are certain sites. I wouldn't broadcast the site if I knew it because I can't be seen to encouraging people to break the law. But apparently it's rife. People are willing to sell their points for money. And this bloke from Kingswood said that up to $500 a point, and he's willing to do it so long as he can keep his license. I said to him, wouldn't it be cheaper to slow down and obey the law?
I agree. Even though I'm not a fan of this revenue raising, but the only way to go about it is to slow down and stick to the speed limit.
Yeah, well, this guy had been done many, many, many times, and what he does is he buys other people's points.
My God.
Yep.
Yeah. My God,
and he sounded like a really nice bloke, but he said that. I said, mate, it's cheaper to obey the law.
It is, because you're keeping money in your own pocket by obeying the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, you know you asked me to update what's happening here in Perth. Well, in Perth yesterday, Thursday, the former Premier Colin Barnett launched an extraordinary attack on his second-term ministry. What that means is that Colin Barnett lost the WA election for the Liberals to Labor's Mark McGowan back in March this year. He described his second ministry team as weaker than his first term and lacking in horsepower, and also accused them of incompetence. For those who don't know, Colin Barnett was Premier from September 2008 until March 2017. And Barnett immediately resigned as leader of the Liberal Party following that election loss to Labor's Mark McGowan in March this year.
Yes, but he didn't resign from the Parliament.
Not from the Parliament, no, but there are calls for him to resign from his own Liberal Party following those comments he made. Mike Nahan, who's the current Liberal leader and opposition leader, said this yesterday, I would like to see refreshment in the seat of Cottesloe. That seat of Cottesloe has been held by Colin Barnett since 1990, and, you know, it's just...
Yeah, they want him gone. They want him gone.
Yeah.
Now, that's easy to do if the new leader of the opposition has any power with those in charge of pre-selection. Now, that's the way you do it. That's exactly what they did with Bronwyn Bishop in the federal seat of McKellar. She wanted to stay on. And the Liberal Party machine said, nah, we've had enough of Bronwyn Bishop. And so from within the party, she just didn't get pre-selected. That's the way they'll have to do it. If Colin Barnett then digs his heels in, he may then run as an independent, or he may form his own party.
Yeah, because while Colin Barnett was premier, he broke several promises, and because he's left Western Australia in a huge debt, which Mark McGowan and the new Labor government are trying to fix. But one of the options when Colin Barnett was in his final days as premier in the lead up to election was to sell 51% of the state's energy provider, Western Power, into privatisation.
Yeah,
so $11 billion.
He broke some promises. In other words, Brendan, he's a politician.
Yeah.
Look, he's obviously doesn't give a rat's ass about what his own party thinks now. Some people might even find that refreshing, Brendan.
Yeah, I find that refreshing. I'm just saying,
when Mark Latham was the leader of the Federal Labor Party and he lost that election to John Howard, a lot of people saw him as very boisterous, aggressive. Do you remember the aggressive handshake outside the radio studio? But now a lot of Liberal Party and Conservative voters are finding Mark Latham a breath of fresh air because he's saying exactly what's on his mind. That might be the way Colin Barnett goes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Colin Barnett ran a lot of ignorance in his campaign because he had two key ministers resign from his ministry in September last year, just months out from the state election, because they had no confidence in the Premier. I mean, no offence, but if Colin Barnett had stepped down and someone else taken the party before the elections, the Liberals may have won a third term in government.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And maybe Colin Barnett's in for a career in the media.
You never know, Luke. You never know.
Eh? Hey,
Luke, yeah, you never know, mate. He could be having a career in the media because he was quite popular with the media and, of course, on Mix 94.5 here in Perth.
Hey, listen, I've got something else for you to keep an eye on, Brendan.
Yes, Luke.
And this is a national issue. I know you keep us well and truly informed in what's going on in WA, and we love you for it, Brendan. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke.
But keep a very close eye on the pre-selection, not the pre-selection, the by-election coming up in the seat of Bennelong. That was formerly John Howard's seat. He lost it to Labor, to the TV presenter Maxine McHugh. You remember that? She did absolutely bugger all for a term. And then the seat was won back by the tennis player John Alexander. John Alexander failed in the dual citizenship test. He fell on his sword. He's resigned, and now there's a by-election. Now, up from nowhere, like Lazarus rising from the... from the dead comes former New South Wales Labor Premier Christina Keneally. She led the Labor Party to one of its biggest defeats in New South Wales. She lost it to Barry O'Farrell. Do you remember that? It is a New South Wales issue. But
yeah, I do pay attention to other state elections from time to time.
Yeah, Barry O'Farrell was elected overwhelmingly as Premier of New South Wales. He defeated Christina Keneally, but then he had to as well fall on his sword because he didn't declare a bottle of Grange. Do you remember that?
Not quite, but if you can light me on that.
It's all Grange under the bridge now, but can I just say this? So she's running in opposition to John Alexander in the seat of Bennelong, and it's going to be a tighter contest than I think he first thought now. Now, next time you watch the TV and you watch Bill Shorten, and have you noticed that Bill Shorten is spending more time on the seat of Bennelong than he is with Anastasia Palaszczuk in the Queensland election? Have you noticed that?
I have noticed him spending a lot of time in that seat, and I presume that is because he wants that seat won by Labor.
Well, of course he does, but I don't think he'd be very, very happy with the person that's running for that seat because she wants his job. And you want to know? I reckon she'll get it.
Mate, change is good, I tell you, Luke. Change is good. But look, Luke, a couple of things you've put on your Night Shift Facebook page through the week. First one about fuel cycles, like we're using 98 and 95 octane. Look, I drive a 6-cylinder Falcon here in Perth.
Hang on, Brendan, just before you get going.
Brendan, yep. I'm going to have to stop you there for a minute.
Yep.
You said some of the things that I put on our Facebook page. Is that what you said?
Oh, sorry, some of the things that have been put on the Facebook
page. No,
Start again. Start again.
Wrong again, my friend. We need a beep, 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 beep.
Back up.
You mean?
Hang on, what's this? You're doing my backup sound effects now.
You take my jokes all the time.
She is a white ant. Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
No, okay, hang on. We'll start again. You start again, Brendan.
Yeah, look, some of the posts I've seen on the Triple M Night Shift Facebook page, want to make some comments.
No, she's still carrying on. She's still carrying on. Brendan.
Try again.
Who puts the Facebook page together, Brendan?
On some of the posts that Jess has been
posting. Yes! Thank you! All right, Brendan.
She doesn't ask for much.
Proceed.
Now, some of the posts that Jess has been putting on Facebook about the fuel octanes, and look, I do agree, higher octane fuel is something good for my Falcon that I drive here in Perth, because I really just don't have the energy to put that tired old 91 in this car anymore, because I find premium fuels 95 and 98 are so much better for a car like an XR6 sedan.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, Brendan, because I don't mind Friday being a day of review. We had some really interesting conversation during the week, and the way it came about was I was watching TV on the weekend and I saw an ad for BP Ultra.
Yep.
And it was an ad not aimed at people with performance cars. It was aimed at Ma and Pa. And it was saying, look, if you use BP Ultra, your car's engine is going to be cleaner. It continuously cleans your engine, is what the ad said. But you'll have better mileage and better performance. And I thought, is that true? Here's BP trying to sell their premium product. It costs a lot more. So I tried to do some investigation on Google, as you do, Brendan.
Yeah. And
everywhere I turned, I found conflicting opinions on whether or not putting 98 in a car that's not specifically designed for 98, is it wasting money? And we got a lot of very interesting calls. So proceed.
Yeah, because I've used BP Ultra in my Falcon many times, especially on runs from Perth to Kalgoorlie, which is about 600 kilometres apart, and I find the economy on the BP Ultra 98 is so perfect. It just goes vroom, so smoothly.
So you reckon the 98 gives you better mileage?
Oh, it certainly does. It certainly does, as long as you don't drive it pathetically.
Yeah, okay. Interesting observation. Brendan, thank you again for calling up.
No worries, Luke. Have a good holiday, mate, and I'll look forward to chatting to you again in about a week's time, and I'll give Liam some good company next week.
Yeah, it's not really a holiday. I've got some family business I've got to attend to.
Yeah, no worries, mate, but I hope it all goes well for you.
But please ring Liam and make him feel welcome, and if I don't see you before Christmas, have a great family day.
Yeah, you too, mate. Take care.
It's Day of the Family,
Lukey.
Mess it up.
Around Australia on the Triple M network. This is The Night Shift with Luke Boner. The Night Shift.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah.
How are you?
How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Good. Just ringing up. You were talking about the Santas and that earlier on and just a little bit before. Not myself, but my uncle. He was actually a Santa in a mall many years ago.
Yeah.
Which then my parents just happened to take me to this Santa.
Your uncle?
My uncle.
Did you know it was your uncle?
I had no idea.
Okay,
go
on.
Which then led to the fact where, as a young fella, I always wanted a motorbike. Mum and Dad had decided that this Christmas I was going to be getting a motorbike, thankfully enough. They were good to me like that. However, Santa then knew that I was getting a motorbike. So when Santa asked, what is the gift that you would like? Then away I went. A motorbike is what I'd like for Christmas. And so Santa supplied. And so then from, I was what, age seven, six or seven when I got that? Ever since, just there's Santa. Santa's real, as far as I was concerned as a kid.
Santa came through with a motorbike. And you didn't have any idea it was your uncle?
I had no idea. I actually found out probably, I would say, close to 15 years later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a long time, a long, long time. But he knew my name, knew my age, knew where I lived, everything. And I just thought it was the best thing in the world as a little kid. But, funny little story.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So what happens when a kid asks Santa for something that mum and dad just can't afford?
Oh, who knows? I guess it comes down to, I guess, like the other guys have said about they got to have a bit of a look at the parents to see what their reaction would be. But yeah, it was just a little inside joke. And yeah, like I said, for me and then my brother as well, same thing happened to him, not same gift, but the uncle obviously knew who he was as well. But yeah, it sold it for us. And it wasn't until high school when mum and dad come clean to me about what was going on. So.
I never believed in Santa.
What?
Or the Easter yeah. Bunny. Or the Tooth Fairy, none of it.
Yes, because you're a cynical... No. Twisted young woman with... Angry young woman. You're a cynical, twisted, angry young woman with lots and lots of issues.
So many issues.
And racked with anxiety.
Yes.
That's a bit harsh. No.
She's agreeing.
I can't say anything to that. But, well, only a part of me. Only one of the 23 personalities has anxiety. And only one of the 23 personalities is an angry person. The rest are fine.
First of all, yeah. we've realised there's now 24 personalities. We found another one out last week.
Oh, yeah. Who was it?
Hamish McTavish or something, wasn't it?
Oh, the Axe Chopper.
The Axe.
From Ireland. Yeah, he's a good bloke.
With a Scottish name.
He lives within.
So, anyway, I would hate to have been the Santa that Jess sat on.
Yeah, I was always angry in every photo. Just
well, you're sitting there. I want to see.
There are photos.
I want to get Zenna, the warrior woman, to post some of your early photos sitting with Santa. Can we do that? Let's do it before.
We shan't be posting them, but I'll show you them.
Let's do it before Family Fun Day, or whatever it's called.
Day of the Family.
Let's do it before Day of the Family. Thanks, Google.
And yeah, what a rot that is.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And for those who missed it, Google has decided to no longer call Christmas Day Christmas Day. It's now Day of the Family. We typed it into Google, came up Christmas Hours, or if you type in Big W Christmas Hours, it comes up with Day of the Family Trading Hours. It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Have a look on our Facebook. It's right there. Because you took a screenshot. Is that what it's called?
Well done, Lukey. That's what it is. Look at him learn and grow.
The world's gone mad. The world's gone mad is what it comes down to.
It's very strange, isn't
Day
it?
Day of the Family, where it once said Christmas Day opening hours.
Do you think it's going to get to the point where we can't say Christmas anymore? Is that what we're going to get to?
Really?
Do you think?
We wish you a merry. We wish you a merry.
Imagine changing the lyric. Can you say New Year? Is that offensive? It's not everyone's New Year. Not every culture has the same year cycle.
It's discrimination against old people.
Speaking of discrimination,
yeah.
that schoolboy that wasn't allowed in because of his uniform as such.
Yeah, Mornington Secondary College. There's a blanket ban on these kids at Aldi, apparently, because of shoplifting. Go ahead.
Yes, so I personally work in retail and have been while I've been studying at uni to become a teacher. So I'm looking at this from two angles. One, my work perspective, and secondly, as a teacher to be as of next year. So as a retail assistant or as a salesman in a store, as soon as we see any school kid come in, it's instant eyes on them.
Really? Yeah.
I won't mention which company I work for, but as our last stock take came through, we lost, in one section alone of the store, we lost upwards of $60,000, and that's in a six-month period.
No.
That's of stock.
And you reckon that was directly because of school kids?
Not directly because of school kids, but there's a big influence of that with school kids. Not naming schools, obviously, or anything like that, but yeah, that's a massive influence of that. So we have policies where we have to have bags at the doors and those sorts of things, so they can't be trying to hide things and whatnot. Now,
is there discrimination against other people? Now, this kid, and by the way, the video of this is on our Facebook. This boy's gone in, and the manager or the bouncer or whoever he is, he's very good. He keeps calm, but he just says, I'm sorry, they're the rules. You're not allowed in here. The mother of the child is furious because she believes her child was treated like a criminal, and she wants to know why is it fair that all students are being tarred with the same brush. But what about people of different nationalities?
Yeah, so I know for us, Not necessarily nationalities. We're a bigger store. So nationalities isn't nearly an issue. It's more so people who dress in a certain way, people who would be considered what you would call like a lad or something similar to that.
They're wearing a hoodie and,
So something like that. As soon as we see people like those guys come into the store, it goes around the store, across the PA system, the little code words that we've got, and then people will be instantly onto them and harassing them as a sales staff member.
How do you mean?
Harassing them in the way that say, oh, how can I help you today? You know, do you need a hand with that item in your that you've got there? Do you want me to take it to the counter for you? Is there something you want me to do? And just to keep an eye on them because these guys have got characteristics on the way they want to go about stealing things if they're going to be doing it. And that's, you know, they linger around, they hang around, they're always looking around, they take it to the back end of the store, hang out down there and just wait for, you know, the opportunity to arise to...
If they're dressed in a certain way, you will automatically profile them.
Essentially, yeah. And as bad as that sounds, that's what we as staff do at this store, at least anyway. And that is mostly just because it's, you know, like I said, one section, which I would put this section, I would say it's probably 1/8 of the store at almost 60 grand worth of stock gone.
60 grand worth of stock. Well, there you go. The profiling goes on. So it's not just the Mornington Secondary College. It goes on in retail everywhere. If someone has a certain look and fits a certain description, you'll keep an eye on them. You'll profile them. Or would you ban them?
It doesn't come to a point of banning them. The centre that I work in has certain individuals that they have banned. The Westfield, that is, has banned specific individuals, which I believe the major shopping malls have the authority to do under certain circumstances. However, our security guards that we have at our doors, they can't touch them. They can't touch the kids or anyone for that matter who runs away with stock. We have to, you know, we can't lay a hand on them, otherwise they get taken to court for assault. So
that's right. All right. Listen, Ryan, thank you so much for calling.
No dramas, Luke. Interesting story. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Say hello to Liam next week, okay?
Yeah, shall do, mate.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
The Night Shift, around Australia on the Triple M Network. Luke Boner. The Night Shift.
Okay, there's a lot of feeling out there. There's a lot of feeling in Triple M land over the Google story. So just to repeat to those people waking up this morning, we got a phone call this morning from Neo. And Neo was telling us that he Googled up
Kmart Christmas hours.
Kmart Christmas hours, which you can do right now. And what happened?
So basically, and we've done a bit more investigation. It goes, so because at first we thought it was just a Kmart thing, but it's definitely a Google thing. Same with Google, David Jones, Maya Big W. On the Google search, it's not calling it Christmas. Google is referring to the day and the trading hours as Day of the Family Trading Hours.
But it did recently say Christmas Trading Hours. They've replaced it with Day of the Family Trading Hours. Not the initiative of the stores, it's the initiative of Google for some reason. Stephen says, I have no religion. It has always been Christmas, and I will continue to call it Christmas. Don't get so butt hurt over what others do. Mick, the country's lost its way. Nick, if you don't celebrate Christmas, that's your choice, but why do they have to ruin it for those that do? Kim says, is this because Google is afraid they will offend someone? Because I'm bloody offended at what they are calling Christmas. But it doesn't seem to matter if Australians are offended. Nathan says, for sake, nothing is off limits to the PC brigade. And Paul says, what a load of cocky shit. And I bet I bet you if you'd asked that caller at the WA a couple of weeks ago, he would say it's definitely a debacle. Yeah, that's right. A debacle. It is a debacle. Plenty of anger out there. Google, what are you doing? Anyway, you'll hear more about it today, I am sure.
Around Australia on the Triple M Network, this is The Night Shift with Luke Burner. The Night Shift.
Well, every Christmas, thousands and thousands of pets are given as presents, mostly dogs. And a lot of these dogs, unfortunately, come from puppy farms. Literally, it's what it sounds like. You have these dogs in concrete cells, little cages. Their whole purpose in life is to breed and to breed and to breed. And it's very, very cruel. And how do we know whether the little happy puppy face in the window of the pet shop has come from a puppy farm? Veterinary surgeon Dr. Rob Zammit joins me on the telephone now. Rob, this is a problem that's been around for a long, long time, and I know it's one you've championed.
Yeah, look, I hate puppy mills or puppy farms or whatever you want to call them. They are pretty dreadful when you see these animals in cramped condition, bred, you know, every season. The female doesn't get a rest from one season to the next, just continually taking everything out of her and being bred all the time. It's exhausting to the animal as well. And they come out of it, if they come out of it alive, they come out of it very thin and very, you know, worn out.
Yeah, and what checks are there in place to make sure these dogs are treated humanely? If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see the faces of some of these dogs that the RSPCA, photos that the RSPCA have taken of dogs in puppy farms. It just looks appalling.
It is. I mean, the government is trying to bring in some legislation, but they've gone... as usual, they've gone off and not talked to, I don't think, real experts, because they've blanketed anyone that wants to breed dogs in New South Wales and in Victoria and some of the other states. Instead of looking at the genuine breeders, how to promote them, how to promote education to buy from them, and really come down harder on the puppy farms. That's what they need to do.
How do we know that the little happy, fluffy puppy in the front window of the pet shop has come from a good home?
Well, look, very often pet shops will tell you, no, they're all very good and very loved and all that sort of stuff. But you don't know. You really don't know. And some of the better pet shops these days don't sell pups or kittens. They won't do it. You know, they sell information, they sell pet food, they sell grooming and all the other things that go with it, with owning a pet, but they don't sell dogs and cats. And, you know, that's not a bad way to look at things. If you can do that marketing properly, I think it's an excellent idea.
All right. So if you were going to give a pet for Christmas, what's your advice?
Oh, yeah, some great pets. You can get some from Kmart, some stuffed toys, or from Target. Or if you really want to go out market, get one of the stuffed toys from DJs. Or if you haven't got any money, get a pet rock to give to someone. But please don't give a live animal as a gift, because it really works out. Really works out.
A pet rock. Did you know what I discovered last week on the program? In Queensland, it's illegal to sell rabbits or to own a rabbit.
Oh, yeah, you can't have a rabbit in Queensland. No, but they devastated the state. When they took over, they really devastated the grazing areas of Queensland. So they've still got that in place.
Should rabbits be banned Australia-wide?
Well, we had to bring in a virus called myxomatosis to control them. If you would have seen, you know, we forget what they used to do, with the devastation that they used to do to our agriculture. It was terrible. So it's pretty hard to really do it. But given that now, you can't control them. They're out there. We've tried everything to get rid of them totally. That's not going to happen. So I don't think banning them is going to work. I think controlling them is about all we can do.
Getting back to the puppy farms, because these sad little faces you'll see on our Facebook page, by the way, if you go there, I'm warning you, it's confronting some of these photos. How do you avoid a puppy farm?
Don't go buying from, if you buy from the internet, be very, very careful. If a person says, oh, look, I'll meet you with the puppy or the kitten, you're probably buying from a puppy farmer. In fact, you are buying from a puppy farmer, because a breeder wants you to come to their place, a genuine breeder, look at their place, look at the mother of the puppies, and if possible, the father of the puppies. Get to know the parents. Get to know your breeder. Don't just go off and just say, oh, I found one in the paper that's cheap. That's what I'll buy. You are probably helping a puppy farmer.
All right, Dr. Rob Zammit, good to talk to you. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, you and your wonderful family have a lovely time, and I'll catch up with you face-to-face soon.
To you and your family and to all our listeners, a very, very Merry Christmas.
Or at the very least, a Happy Family Day, hey? What have we started, Jess? What have we started? 133353. Back to callers shortly. This is Powderfinger. This is called Passenger here on the Friday edition of The Night Shift on Triple M.